Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Will Harris from the Panther Ranch Podcast. It's Friday, and this week's been a blur for me. Well, I've been home all week. Working from home, my daughter's been sick with the flu. And she got a flu shot, but still got the flu. And pretty much with the flu shot, you can still get the flu. It's just, it's a weaker strain of it. So that's pretty much what my daughter has. And, you know, that's news to me. I always thought, you know, flu shot blocked a lot of it. But the thing is, if I remember correctly, a lot of the strains from the flu shot are usually strains from the year before. So every year there's always a new different strain of the influenza virus. And, well, there you have it. I did record a podcast, I think, on Monday. Never uploaded it. And, yeah, just never got around to it. But I'm doing a fresh one now. So first we start out with Pit Hoops. Yeah, Pit Hoops is coming off a big win against Florida State. And one thing you can say about the team is, well for one thing, if they don't, you know, Clemson, you know, not Clemson, I'm sorry, North Carolina obviously was a punch to the throat. You know, to let them know that every game was going to be a doghouse. But the Louisville game was a game they had to have, and they got it. And you could tell how important that game was, because that game now has given this team a whole boatload of confidence. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with NC State. And that game itself, well, it started off with Wyatt Walker, who happens to go to the same school as Grayson Allen, same high school. That game started off with, you know, him pulling some leg of Xavier Johnson, because the play was over, Wyatt Walker was on the floor, and Johnson's foot grazed Wyatt Walker's knee, which in response, Walker grabs the leg of Xavier Johnson, trips him from behind. And, you know, the ACC officials actually, you know, did something right, and it ejected Walker from the game. And it was funny to watch the announcers, you know, if you watch the thing on the ACC network, it was almost as if, you know, Xavier Johnson stomped on his leg. Like, you know, like Walker was the victim. When, you know, it was, you could tell it was obvious, you know, Walker was no victim. It was just an accident. I know, you know, some athletes have issues with their knees and people stepping on them, whatever. But this was an accident. And then for Walker to, you know, react like that was ridiculous. And I think if it happens in the middle of the game, he probably doesn't get ejected. The fact that it happened so early in the game prompted the ejection. And you know what? His ass probably needed to go sit somewhere and go cool off. But as far as the game went, you know, Pitt played a hell of a game. And I thought there was times NC State was going to blow them out or blow it open. But, you know, Pitt held true. And the problem is there's a lot of opportunities Pitt had they just couldn't take advantage of. And by the end of the game, NC State got hot and started knocking their shots down, and that was it. You know, Pitt had really no answer. But, you know, Trey McGowan's is shooting more, almost more, I think, as many three throws in a season already than Pitt had last year. I mean, Pitt's doing a hell of a job on drawing fouls. I mean, they're doing, you know, when you're undermanned, you're playing smart, and that's what they're doing so far. And Pitt had had Florida State on Monday, and it was a ranked opponent. And you know, as long as FSU has the coach they have, you know, Pitt's always gonna have a chance because their coach is just known, you know, to recruit really good players and have good teams. It's just he loses these type of games, and they came off a heartbreaking loss against Duke. So it worked out for Pitt because they could take advantage of it, because obviously Florida State's morale is probably down because they just lost a game in the final seconds where they played their asses off. So Pitt, you know, it worked out for them, and they got Syracuse coming Saturday, and they're at Syracuse, and they're coming off a big win against Duke. Overtime win, but still, the way this team's been playing, you can never rule them out any game because of how they play. I mean, they're playing tough. I mean, Terrell Brown, he's the guy has got a lot of mojo right now. I mean, he's grown a big pair this season, and he feels like a force to be reckoned with. And if you watch him. So a lot, you know, it's looking good now. I mean, do I think that, you know, Pitt's going to be some sort of postseason team or something, tournament team? No. They it's just one of those things where you take each game at a time because you can't rule this team out of any game the way they play. You know, crazy things happen, but pretty much every game they play, it's going to be a dogfight, and they know that, and that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. And I think, you know, after, you know, the North Carolina game, that's pretty much, you know, what the coach had to instill in these guys, that it was always going to be, it's going to be a dogfight. But, hey, we'll see what happens. I mean, for once, for the first time in probably 2 years, people were excited about Pitt basketball again. And well, it's probably been a long time, actually, because even in the late years of the Dixon era, Pitt basketball wasn't really that exciting anymore. It just they won games, they went to tournaments. It just, I mean, there were some instances where they didn't go to the tournament. They went to an NIT 1 year, and they went to a CBI, you know, also. But that's when the wheels, you know, start falling off. And speaking of that, you know, Jamie's already lost a whole recruiting class at TCU. He's had four players transfer out already. Two of them, the first three were reserves, but two of the reserves were highly recruited players. One was a JUCO. Another one, I think, was a top 100, top 150 player. So they're already leaving Jamie's program, and they've barely been in it. Now, the one notable was Jalen Fisher, and initially, I think there was a lot of shock on this, but if you take a read of the articles, Jalen's Jamie's best player. And since last year, Fisher's been having problems with his knees. And he was back on the court earlier this year, and his knees flared up again. And he's done for the rest of the year because of it. And he's decided to transfer out. And the parting ways seem mutual, because I think what it really is that Fisher is never going to be really he's, by the time all the smoke clears, he's not going to be the player he once was. And I think Jamie decided probably it was best for him to go somewhere where he would be able to compete, you know, to what he wants to do. Because, you know, college basketball, especially even Big 12, it's a tough league. And you got to have the best players. Nothing in Jamie's case, you know, a Fisher's body just can't hold up to this, type of strain anymore. So it just is what it is. But I mean, it's alarming that he's lost 4 players already. You know, for his sake, you know, when he lost the whole recruiting class at Pitt, he had depth issues. I remember he was bringing in just bodies after a while, and hopefully with a more broader recruiting region in Texas, hopefully he doesn't have to deal with that. We can bring in actual players. We'll see. But anyways, Pitt football made a hire, as you guys all know as well. Mark Whipple, the head coach at UMass, is coming to Pitt. Whipple's been known for his work, you know, for the Steelers from 2004 to 2006 with Roethlisberger. And he took some, he bounced around the league, and he eventually went back to UMass. And UMass is now they went from 1A to 1A. They were in the MAC, and now they're independent, and they just haven't been able to win in the 1A level. I guess they got their asses kicked in the MAC conference, and they end up leaving, and now they play independent. And so, really, the program for the most part is in limbo right now, due to that, because where they go now. You know, you're a 1AA team, because before Whipple went to the NFL, he was the head coach at UMass as well. He won a national championship at UMass. And also, you know, he took him to the playoffs as well. But now he has, then he comes back to UMass and they're 1A. And it's a bigger challenge. And he hasn't been able to win at UMass in his second stint at all. I mean, they're losing a lot of games. Although they've had some really good offenses. This past year they had a really good offense. So hopefully with the new coach they can turn the tide, but I think we have a lot of programs are now contemplating their move and where their programs stand. And an example of that is UConn right now. There was an article that came out that UConn made $40 million in revenue, but they had $8 million in expenses. And you figure a lot of those expenses are probably the buyouts of the coaches they fired, in football and in basketball, because they had the buyout Kevin Ollie. Then give Dan Hurley, his contract. And plus Kevin Ollie's suing UConn now, so you have that as well. And now you got a lot of people, especially UConn, even questioning their move now. But with UMass, they didn't have really a conference to jump into. I mean, they had the MAC, but UConn, when they first moved to over to 1A, they had the Big East. So they had the luxury of eventually jumping in to the conference. And it paid dividends for them for one period. And of course, they end up in the American and they're stuck now. I mean, Randy Edsall, to keep his offensive coordinator, he had to give money out of his own pocket. That's how bad this is. So I'm not sure where UMass goes with their program. It's hard. Plus, in the region they're in, they're in the very tip of the Northeast, where it's just Boston College and So yeah, like I said, I don't know where they can go from there. I think UConn, I think the smart move for them would be to probably put their football somewhere else, or see if they can remain in the AAC, the AAC as a football-only member. But just take your basketball and move it to the Big East. You know, get back with St. John's and St. John's, Georgetown, Villanova. Get yourself reacquainted with those guys, because it's obviously not working in the AEC. And the AEC isn't a bad basketball league. It's getting there. But it's no Big East. You know, Big East has more established programs. And, you know, for a lot of them, they took a back seat when the football-only schools were there, because the football-only schools have better programs. But now, you know, with them gone, they can actually win games and, you know, build their programs now without having to deal with, you know, the football programs. But as far as Whipple goes, he obviously is good with the passing game. Running game has been suspect, but you hope it works out. I'm sure it will. I mean, I would have loved if Narduzzi would have hired I think we were all hoping for a more younger person with fresh ideas. He went with somebody that was established, and I can't fault him for it. I understand. You don't want to hire an up-and-comer with fresh ideas, because you don't know how it's going to go. And, you know, you're not sure how much of an ego they would have after a while, because some offensive coordinators, even defensive coordinators themselves, like Narduzzi, they have egos. And in a lot of ways, you know, Narduzzi, it's all about his defense. So I'm sure he doesn't want to be known for his offense, but that's the direction of, you know, football is going, in his offense. You know, we're seeing that right now. So, you know, we can crack on the Big 12, but people love offense. They love scoring, and they love touchdowns, throwing the ball, and whatnot. But we'll see what goes on there. Now, speaking of the whole Narduzzi thing and, you know, Pitt and stuff and transfers, well, obviously there's a big thing going around, as you guys see on Twitter. It's called the transfer portal. Now, in the transfer portal, you know, to me, it feels like it's one of those applications you have at work, you know, like the HR portal and timesheet portal and benefits portal and all kinds of portals. I mean, you know, the timesheet portal is where you go in and you have to freaking track all your time. You know, I worked 40 hours this week. I spent 20 of it working on this, 20 of it working on that. And you have to put your charge codes in, and it's freaking ridiculous. That's one thing I really don't freaking miss about that stuff. I mean, my current job now, we don't do that, thank God. But previous jobs, we had to do that. Oil and gas, we had to do that. We had to log our times every single week of what we did, you know, and the codes as well. But yeah. But anyways, two notables that have entered the transfer portal are from Penn State. You got Juwan Johnson, who, Juwan Johnson, obviously, he's a decent receiver from Penn State, although he's had problems with the drops. But when he catches the ball, and another notable is Lamont Wade. Sorry, I keep pausing my podcast because I'm actually working as well, so I get instant messages and emails and whatnot. Lamont Wade is transferring out of Penn State, and this is, you know, obviously a big shock to a lot of people. supposedly he, you know, I did some more reading up on this, and supposedly Wade was he was actually slated to be starting next year. That, you know, the staff had high hopes for him. But from what I'm reading, this transfer thing is not so much about playing time, it's more about personal. I think Lamont has a child, for one thing. But I also read that he's an aspiring rapper as well. And I guess you can't, you know, if you're a rapper, you obviously can't do much in state college. But I'm not sure where he, you know, if he's going to, if he wants to go somewhere, wants to not only play football, but do what he does, you know, with hip hop. I'm not sure where he goes, unless he goes, you know, he's got to go somewhere where, you know, it's happening. At one point, it used to be Pittsburgh, and it really is not so much anymore. Although Jimmy Wapo, I guess, you know, he was on the brink of being signed, and you know, cause he stayed in Pittsburgh, but unfortunately, he died. He got shot and killed. But you know, if he's gonna come back to Pittsburgh to sell his brand, and I guess he plays for Peter Duquesne. But I would take Wade at Pitt. But I think the way it's going is I think the staff is probably would have moved on from it. I mean, somehow he got into the him and Miles Sanders got into the Southside practice facility and took some pictures, you know, at our Pitt's practice facility and posted on social media. And of course, there's a bunch of trolling going around. I mean, you had George Aston putting the Pitt helmet on a Pitt decal on a Penn State helmet. You know, and it was funny, but you know what? I would rather if they beat Penn State on the field than doing this trolling crap. You know, it's like, I mean, it was funny what George did, but come on, man. You guys just, these guys beat you 51-6 and you're clowning on them still? I mean, you can still clown on them, but just, you know. I just would rather beat them on the field than doing this sideshow stuff, but it is what it is. But wherever Lamont ends up, he ends up. I'm sure he probably will end up in a, you know, probably a bigger program. You know, I'm sure Ohio State and a whole bunch of other suitors have come after him as well, but when I read his Twitter the week before, it seemed like he was upset at the staff. I guess maybe they were moving to a different player than him as far as the position goes. But supposedly he was slated to, you know, to be a star next year. But who knows? We didn't hear much from him after the Pitt game as well. I mean, he wasn't really making headlines. He was doing more special teams and whatnot. So we'll see. All right, guys, we'll close up here because I'm freaking tired. Of course, I need more coffee, but I see Clemson visited the White House earlier this week, and you know, the president fed them McDonald's, Wendy's, and some pizza, Berkey and some pizza. Now, obviously, this is a big, well, this creates some sort of an uproar on social media because, well, for one thing, you have the government shut down. And, of course, the president is feeding the players fast food for their meal for their White House visit. I mean, I'll admit, I love a double quarter pounder. I love McDonald's still. I mean, I still eat it, even though it's horrible for me, but As a kid whose parents both worked a lot, you know, a lot of times that's what I got, you know. You know, I mean, fast food then was convenient for, you know, my family because, you know, they worked a lot and sometimes they just didn't have time to cook. I mean, when I get home from work, it's hard to cook because I get home at like 6:30 with the kids and you cook and they eat around 7:00 and by 8:30 they have to go to bed, and if they have homework, you got that to deal with. But, you know, my mom did a lot of the cooking, and, you know, she worked a lot, but there was times where she couldn't cook, and my dad would just drop through McDonald's sometimes, and or Arby's or whatnot. You know, it was easier, and plus, you know, as a kid, I would go outside and run around a lot, so whenever I was eating, I was going, and I was out and running around the neighborhood. But now how things are these days, with it's just hard to let your kid go anywhere now by themselves. I mean, I used to go take my bike and, you know, when I was 10 or 11, I used to take my bike and I'd ride around the neighborhood. I mean, when you get your two-wheel bike, I mean, that's the most awesome thing in the world. I mean, it's like your Lexus or your, you know, whatever. You go. You have your backpack, your fanny pack. You know, those were, you know, the fanny packs for kids were in style at one point, and it was awesome because I could carry all my candy, my money, and stuff in it. But you know, you took it, and I mean, you can ride it all over the place. But now it's just, things are so different now. But, yeah, you know, like I said, I love, you know, I still like my fast food. I just don't give it to my kids as much as I had it. And, you know, I try to avoid as much as I can. I mean, my kids aren't really big fast food people as it is. And, you know, they like sandwiches more than anything else. And, shoot, I love sandwiches too. Who doesn't like a freaking good-ass sandwich? The players, they enjoyed the whole spread. They loved it. So I don't understand why celebrities are tripping over themselves trying to fix this problem. There's nothing to be fixed. At all. The players had a good time. They liked it. And I just think the people need to really focus their energies elsewhere than trying to offer, tripping over themselves to, you know, to give Clemson a meal. I mean, if you want to feed anybody, feed the furloughed workers who are still not being paid for their shutdown. That's where I would go with it. And, you know, personally, if it was me, I probably wouldn't have had Clemson at the White House during a shutdown. I would have had him when it was after. But I get why he did it. You know, this was more of the president playing to his base. It was to say, hey, you know what? I invited Clemson. I had to feed him, but since the government shut down, there's nobody to cook for them. So I bought food out of my own money to feed them. See how that works? So he can blame the government shutdown for having to feed them fast food. In a lot of ways, that makes him look good, and the people who oppose him look really bad. But then you got the celebrities now jumping in here wanting to feed them. And it's pretty much, and it makes his opposition look a lot worse. So pretty much the celebrities are now, who are tripping over themselves to fix this issue, they pretty much took the bait on it. And, you know, And that's the thing with, I try to deep in the politics, but pretty much with this, that's all really this was. And, you know, all he has to do is play to his base, and that's all he did in that situation, is play to it. And I'm sure they're eating it up, and of course his opposition eating it up, and it may have even look even better. I mean, that's just how it works. But, yeah. Anyways, guys, it's Friday. You guys have a good week, and I'm going to freaking hopefully energize myself later today somehow, some way. And we got Martin Luther King Day off. Well, of course, the hospital, we're always open. But our boss gives our department the day off, and I'm sure a lot of you guys will have the day off as well with the kids. But hey, enjoy. If you do, enjoy the long weekend. Hell to pit. Talk to you later, guys.